blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 351, stanzas 1 and 2, "To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O thou enthroned above the skies, as servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise, until his mercy he displays." Both stanzas of Psalter 351. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 6th chapter in the first 18 verses. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we may read thy holy word, and that which was spoken even by thee thyself when thou wast in this world, that thou didst instruct thy church, thy people, thy disciples, how to pray. And Lord, what can we say? For our supplications that are so full of sin and shortcomings that we know not how to pray as we ought. But Lord, wilt thou give it in our hearts a true cry and a true supplication in this morning hour. Thou bringest us together in thy house of prayer. And it is so undeserved, because thou knowest who and what we are, and all that lies in our hearts, and that which is within and that which is without. Oh, that thou may take away the hypocrisy, that thou may strip us of all that is false and of all that is vain. And wilt thou plant truth within the inward parts? Lord, give it a true humility. Wilt thou give a true mourning because of sin? Then it is necessary that we should love thee. But Lord, we cannot love thee of ourselves. Then we are lovers of the world, and we are lovers of self. And we are lovers of him whom we have chosen in paradise, that we should walk after his ways, that we should seek his direction, that we should love and desire all that is vain, carnal, and passing away. Oh, we need to be born again. We need to be converted.
Lord, wilt thou look upon us and upon our dear children for the first time and also by renewal in the life of thy own dear children. And wilt thou forgive all that is sinful, oh, that thou may take it away, and that thou may cleanse us from all our iniquities. We may read in thy holy revelation that thou didst send thine only begotten Son into this world. Lord, it is already long ago, and we have never seen him in the flesh, but oh, that we may be given to believe on him by thy Spirit, and that we also may be partakers of all that he has accomplished for the sake of his people, and that we may not be left on the outside of that blessed covenant of which we may read and hear from Sabbath to Sabbath. Lord, it is a new, it is a living way, and thou art the God of that covenant. Oh, that thou may also remember that covenant in this day, and when we have come up together in thy house of prayer, oh, that there may be those who could not let thee go in this morning hour, except that thou would open the windows of heaven, and that thou would pour out a blessing upon thy church, upon thy people, upon us as a denomination and as a congregation. Oh, that there may be stormers at thy throne of grace, for the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Lord, then it will not be in a way of laxity. It will not be in a way of despising thy means, that the kingdom of heaven is received by thy people, but it will be in a way of laboring within those means that thou hast provided. It will be in a way of seeking and of searching in thy holy word, oh, that thou may grant it when we cannot give it unto ourselves and unto our dear children. Lord, wilt thou look upon thy church? They are living in the last days of this world, and thou knowest all that is before them. Thou knowest all that is within them, those that are the little lambs, and also those that are the sheep of thy flock, the daughters of Jerusalem and the established bride. And thou needest to give food and drink to each and every one of them. Oh, then there are some that cannot eat of that strong meat, and that need to be fed with the milk for the babes. Oh, that thou may give it, even in this day and in this morning hour, that there may be food in thine house, and that the little sucking lambs, they may receive nourishment. Oh, that they, those that are brought to thy house with hunger and with thirst, after thee the true and the living God, oh, that the meek might eat and that they might be satisfied. And Lord, that those that are also further upon the way, that they also may be instructed, and there is so much instruction that is necessary, that must so break down our flesh, that must so bring us in the need before thee, and that must bring us to nothing, that thou and thine only begotten Son may become all and all and everything for thy people. Lord, wilt thou then remember thy church, and wilt thou take away every false hope and every false foundation, and wilt thou give them to be placed by thy Spirit upon that solid rock, oh, that they may be given to take refuge in the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Oh, so deliver thy people, Lord, and remember those that have wandered as a sheep away from the fold and from the shepherd. For thou knowest also where they are, and thou as the great shepherd art able to bring them again. And when they have lost the way, and when they do not know how to return, Lord, wilt thou look upon them. Oh, that thou would look upon us when we still travel for our own account, and when there has been no new life planted in our soul, Lord, and we miss everything for time and for eternity. And we cannot die in such a way, but thou knowest how many so travel to that great and never-ending eternity. Lord, we beseech thee, thou who art all-powerful, thou who art almighty, that thou would look upon us in this thy holy day. And wilt thou take of this thy holy word, which thou hast given for that purpose, that the preaching in all its foolishness in and of itself unto dry bones may be sanctified when thou wilt breathe life into them. Lord, thou canst do it. Thou art the Almighty God, and there is nothing too hard and too wonderful for thee. Even when with men it is impossible, oh, we beseech thee then, Lord, stretch forth thy mighty arm in this day and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves and for our dear children. Wilt thou look upon all those that need thee in special ways, all the afflicted and sick ones, those that recover from illnesses and operations, those who are widows, widowers, and orphans, and who go over this world lonely and in solitude. Lord, may thou give us to bear truly the burdens of one another, and may thou take those burdens from off them. Oh, when thou would visit, Lord, then we are not alone. One day we may have it good. Oh, remember them also. Be with all that have difficulties in family life, fathers and mothers, with one another or with their children, children with one another. Lord, it is a wonder if we may all get along in this life, seeing what lies in our hearts. Oh, may thou give us to labor diligently to that end, that we may be self-deniers, and that we may love one another fervently, and that we may seek the eternal welfare of the souls of one another, that we may lay each other before thy throne of grace. Lord, wilt thou go before all thy truly sent servants in this thy day, over the length and the breadth of the whole world, in our own denomination and also in other places, when they are truly thy servants. Lord, then it is a work that thou hast laid upon them. Then it is a labor that they do not have to do alone. Lord, may thou do as thou hast promised. And may thou stand on the right and on the left, and may thou help them. But above all, oh, may thou use that word in this thy day for the conversion of many sinners, for the instruction and the leading of thy true church in those steps of grace, that they may receive all from thee. And that so thy name may be so honored and so glorified, that man may be humbled in the dust, and that the soul may be saved. Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou do it? Take reasons out of thyself when they cannot be found in us and in our children. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest. That higher is than I. We announce that the last collection today is for the building fund. The following young people hope to make confession of faith in the coming weeks in Fort McLeod and also in Calgary. Miss Alana Shipper, Mr. Eldon Van Cly, whose baptism papers have been received from the Lethbridge congregation. Miss Erica Vinnie, whose baptism papers have been received from the RCNA in Monarch. Mr. Leon Vinnie, Mrs. Joni Vinnie, Mr. Michael Visser, who hopes to do confession of faith in Calgary next week, Sunday evening. Lawful objections should be brought to the consistory. Also, we wish to have a short meeting of the male members after the Ascension Day service this coming Thursday evening, the Lord willing. Psalter 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Congregation, what is prayer? In prayer, man draws nigh unto God. What a wonder that is. Because God is in heaven, and we are upon the earth. And that is even a greater wonder because of our deep fall. Because there was a time wherein the Lord has said that there shall be no more communion. And when He has, because of our sin, shut us out from communion with Him, that we had to go, boys and girls, that we had to go out of that garden, and thus that man may no longer have that free communion that he was accustomed unto by virtue of his creation. Thus, how is it possible that we are now allowed to pray? That is only because the Lord Himself has made a way that we may be allowed to commune with Him again. How is it that God Himself speaks unto man? The Lord speaks to man through the ways of His providence, in His goodness, when the Lord gives to man over and over and over what he stands in need of for all the things of this life. But the Lord is also speaking unto men through the ways of adversity. So the Lord spoke unto Pharaoh, and when he has brought upon him all of the plagues in that land of Egypt, then it was, as it were, the voice of God that was speaking unto Pharaoh. We can read of Balaam that the Lord also spoke unto him through his providence in, again, a miraculous way, even by his own beast. Thus the Lord is speaking unto men through all the providences that are in this world. May we ever hear His voice in all of these ways. But the Lord is especially speaking unto man through His Word. That is, in a more direct way, and then in general, that the Lord is making known, that the Lord is revealing His will unto man in this world through His holy word that the Lord is speaking. And then in a very particular way, when the Lord is sanctifying, when the Lord is blessing, when the Lord is coming with His Spirit to speak in the soul, in the heart of His own children. Thus, in a very personal way, then men in this world, they have been given to hear that voice of the Lord. How is it that man is then speaking unto the Lord? Because the Lord is not speaking only unto man. But how is then man speaking unto the Lord? We speak unto the Lord with our actions, with what we do. And with the places that we go, with the things that we desire to see with our eyes, the way that we desire to walk, and we are speaking unto the Lord. Maybe that we are saying unto the Lord that we have no desire for the knowledge of thy ways. Is that our life? Is that what we wish to say unto God? And then we speak in a more direct way unto the Lord through prayer. And that prayer, our fathers do instruct us in the Heidelberg Catechism concerning, which we wish to consider together this time in this morning, because we hope to have the sacrament of holy baptism in this afternoon. Thus, in this morning, we wish to consider together Lord's Day 45, questions 116 through 119. Lord's Day 45, questions 116 through 119. Question 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness, which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Question 117. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? Answer, first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word. For all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, so that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer, as He has promised us in His Word. Question 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? Answer, all things necessary for soul and body, in which Christ our Lord is comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. Question 119. What are the words of that prayer, and that we have read together out of God's holy word? And thus our fathers consider prayer. First, why we must pray, question 116. Second, how we must pray, question 117. And third, for what we must pray, question 118. Prayer, why, how, and for what we must pray. Thus, first, why? Why must we pray? Does the Lord not already know the needs of every one of His own people? And really, is it possible for us, when we would ask the Lord anything, is it possible for us to make a change in that secret will of God? Is there not even from eternity already everything in this world already directed by Him? that is in his own decree, even that he is stating the eternal destiny of man. Is it then not a useless thing for a mere man to pray and to ask the Lord if he will do something for him in this life? Why must we pray? Our fathers say, because it is the chief part of thankfulness. For that reason, prayer is required of us. In the first place, it is God Himself that is acknowledged in prayer. Thus, children, when you go to your father or to your mother, and you ask him if you may do this or do that, then you are acknowledging that this is your father, that this is your mother, that they have authority over you. You acknowledge this. And when, young people, we have no desire to do this anymore, and that we will make our own decisions, and then it is as an insult unto our parents and unto God Himself, who places us under their authority. And when we ask of a person this or that something in this world, then we acknowledge that this person is the one who has the freedom, who has the ability to give it unto us, that we don't have it of ourselves. Thus, in prayer, there is an acknowledgement of the Lord. And if we refuse to pray, that means that we refuse to acknowledge God Himself. We refuse to acknowledge that we have a need, that we in ourselves are not able to fulfill, that we have gained ourselves our increase, this great Babylon we have built, and these barns we have filled with plenty, and now we can go on without the Lord. Thus, the refusal to pray, that is an insult in the face of our Creator that has made us, but also in our Provider that is continuing to give the strength for every movement of our body, though that we walk even in the ways of sin against Himself. God will give His grace, our fathers say, and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Thus, what does that mean? God will give His grace only to those who ask Him. That is, not that He needs that they ask, but that is simply because it pleases the Lord to govern and to give unto His church and unto His children in this way and in this manner. I will yet be inquired of, the Lord says, to do it for them. Thus, we do not need to inform the Lord of anything. No, we cannot tell the Lord anything that He does not know. The things that take place in this life, boys and girls, the Lord knows when you are oppressed. No, we cannot inform him. He does not need to tell us because he does not need us to tell him because he doesn't know it. No, but he still will have you to tell him when you are oppressed. And to bow your knees, because this is the way that it pleases the Lord to help his people. Thus it pleases the Lord to give unto his people everything by way of prayer. Therefore the Lord Jesus, he has spoken of that unjust judge and that widow. For this intent we directly read, that men might always pray and not faint. What a special, what a blessed place that Daniel had upon his knees three times a day with his windows open unto Jerusalem. But maybe you say that was Daniel. May I also pray? Who may pray? May the unconverted also pray. All men must pray. Everyone in this world was created by the Lord. And every single person in this world ought, as a creature of God, to acknowledge who that the Lord is and his dependence upon the Lord for everything. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. Every good gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. But maybe you say, I am unconverted. The unregenerate. As an unregenerate person, then my prayer, that is sin. Because we read in God's word that whatsoever is not of faith, that is sin. What do the scriptures say? The scriptures say that it is the very sin of man, the creature of God, that he will not pray. The wicked, we read, they will not seek after God. Thus, if it is our sin to neglect that prayer, then prayer that is our duty. It is true that for the wicked, that our prayer that is actually sin. Because our motives are not right. Because we do not rightly address the Lord. Because we have no true inward need. Thus it is true that of ourselves, that our prayer is sin. Yet to neglect prayer, that is a greater sin. There are lesser sins. And there are greater sins. We read of the prophet Jeremiah, and that he has asked the Lord to pour out his fury upon those that know not his name and those families that did not call upon God. We also read in many places in the Word of God how that the Lord has heard and that the Lord has answered the supplications of those who were unregenerate, that people of Nineveh, when Cain even complained unto the Lord, then it pleased the Lord to set a mark upon Cain. Was not Simon Magus instructed to pray? Even though Paul said that he was in the gall of bitterness, that he was in the bond of iniquity, prayer that is the appointed means of the Lord Himself to receive His blessings. Therefore, the Lord Jesus says, ask, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Prayer that is our duty, each and every one. But now, congregation, did you ever need to pray? Because in regeneration, then prayer that was before and always was our duty becomes something more than our duty. But in regeneration, then prayer becomes our need. And prayer becomes our desire. That is the work of the Lord. When He is taking away all our own self-sufficiency, that the Lord is making us into a dependent creature, and then prayer that becomes for the first time a true prayer. And why? Because of a true need. And that it is in regeneration that a man begins to know God. No, not everything of Him. But that is when faith is planted and he begins to believe in God. Therefore, our instructors in our second point, they instruct in the next question how that we must pray. Is that also our question? Do you feel often the poverty of your prayer that you say that it is no prayer? The Lord Jesus had disciples, and they said unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Do you ever ask the Lord to teach you to pray? Therefore, our instructors consider what are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear. Thus we read that there is prayer that is not acceptable to God. There is prayer that the Lord does not hear. We can read in the Old Testament that the Lord said unto His own people that when they will spread forth their hands unto the Lord says that I will hide My face from you, and when you will make many prayers, He says, I will not hear you. Why? He says, because your hands are full of blood. Thus, there is a discrepancy. That's so in our life. Walking in the way of sin and then bowing our knees before God. Then there is a discrepancy. Then the Lord says, I will not hear your prayer. Read of a Pharisee. The Lord tells us this in the temple, that he prayed a prayer that was not heard by the Lord. What are the requisites of that prayer, which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? First, and that we from the heart pray. Thus, through prayer, that is from the heart. That is not a mere form. That is not a mere custom, which so often our prayer is. That we with our lips draw nigh unto God, but our heart that is so far from Him. Is that ever our burden? Is that ever our grief? that our mind that is wandering all over this globe as we attempt to approach unto a holy, a righteous, and a just God. But what is now through prayer that is the breathing of the heart of man unto God. That is not necessarily done upon our knees. We read about Nehemiah, who was standing and he was doing his business and who has to come before the king and who is speaking unto the king, and at the same time that there is a cry that is going out of his heart unto God. A cry that was heard by him. Peter was not upon his knees when he cried, "Lord, save me." Thus, there is prayer, there is a cry that is going immediately out of the heart in the circumstances that are in our life. And then there is what we call secret prayer. Have we also, congregation, a secret chamber? Do you ever desire, young people, to be alone? To be alone? Do you ever desire, boys and girls, to be alone? That you may have a place that you may bow your knees, and that you may speak unto God. Is that not something? That when we may be so young, that we also may be permitted all by ourselves to enter into our secret chamber, to fold our hands and close our eyes, and to make known the need of our heart unto God. Jacob, when he was in a great need and in a great fear for his brother Esau, had but one place to go. He could not let the Lord go until that he would bless him. Thus that need that is driving the children of the Lord in prayer unto the Lord. There he prayed, not only for himself, but there he prayed for his wives. There he prayed for his children, fathers. Or as a father, as a head of a household, where is that place that we may lay continually to bring the needs of our children, our family that the Lord has given to us before the Lord? What a place that we may have. Reverend Lemain once said, "Most of the time I have no children." How often is it not so also with us? That we have no children, that our children do not lay on our hearts as they ought to lay, even as the head of our household. We have more to do than to warn, to instruct, to teach our children. We have also to supplicate for our children. We read of Hezekiah, and that he is going into that house of the Lord, and there he is bowing his knees before the Lord for the sake of his people, people of the Lord. Solomon, consistory. Then we also have a special place, that is to supplicate for the need of our congregation. How little does that congregation lay on our hearts when there is nothing to be heard, and when we go from place to place, and when we are disappointed that we say that we hear so little, then is it that it also brings us on our knees in supplication before the Lord for that flock that has been placed by the Lord Himself in our care, not only to rule over them, not only to make decisions on their behalf, but to lay on our knees before the Lord for the need of their soul. Thus there is secret prayer for ourselves, for one another. Then there is also a public prayer. But congregation, whatever that prayer may be, that prayer that needs to be, we read from our fathers, from our heart. That means that we do not need to pay so much attention when we pray to the form and to the words, as if and that makes a difference what words that we use before the Lord. We know that when there is public prayer, then we also need to have a little bit of form. We need to have a little bit of order in our prayer, but that is not for the Lord's sake. No, that is for the sake of the congregation, that they may be able to follow us in that prayer, that they may be able to pray along. But for the Lord's sake, then we can read in the Word of God that He is hearing that which is simply ascending out of the need of that heart of man. Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord, He is looking on the heart. First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word. For all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Thus it can be that we pray sincerely, that it can be that we pray from the heart, but that we do not pray to God. Because if we are then sincerely praying unto Allah, then we will never have an answer unto our prayer. But that must be to that one true God only. And therefore, how necessary that we come to know who that one true God is. How may we know this? Well, our fathers say that He has manifested Himself in His Word. Otherwise, we cannot know who He is, because our understanding by our fall, that is so darkened. But we may read in God's Word who He is. We may read that He is that triune God. We may read of His holiness, of His justice. We may read of His mercy. Why only pray to Him? Because He is the only true God. To Him alone belongs honor. To Him alone belongs worship. He is the only one that is everywhere present. He is the only one who is able to see and able to hear us in our secret places. And He is the only one who is almighty. He is the only one that who can give an answer unto our prayer. Then we are not taught to pray to the saints. And the Lord Jesus has never instructed anyone to pray unto His mother, unto Mary, as she was a human being in this world. Thus, to the one true God only. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery,
And that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Congregation, how greatly honored that we would be if we may meet, if we may speak, if we may have a little time, especially if we may have a little time all by ourselves with someone in so high a rank in this world as the Prime Minister, as a President, as a King in this world. Then we would say it unto others that I had received such a privilege. And now we may receive a greater privilege. That is that we may, whatever time that we need, whatever time that we desire, whatever time there may be a burden in our soul, that we may be given to approach, that we may be given to speak unto the Most High God of the heavens and of the earth, who is over every king, who is above every ruler that is in this world. Oh, do we ever have a little impression of that great majesty of Him before whom that we are coming when we attempt to pray? What is then even our outward posture, young people, when we are praying in the house of God? What is then our posture? Are we then slouching in our benches when we come to address that holy being? Actually, we have partially still that custom that the men in the congregation are standing for public prayer. That is, congregation, a good custom. That is what we do when we would come into your living room. Then you would rise to shake our hand. Why? Well, that is a symbol to us as a people. That is respect. When a judge walks into a courtroom, then it is our practice in our land that when we are in public, that we rise before such a person. That is not necessarily when we are in private. No, but that is when we are in public. And that's why we say that it is a good custom when we rise, when we pray. And then, so it has been in our churches in years that have gone by. That was never the practice of the women, of the girls. Why not? Because they are the weaker vessel. We read of Rebecca, when her father approached, that she excused herself, that she did not rise up before her father, because of the condition, because of the weakness that was in her body. Thus, it is a proper thing. And how good that would be also in the midst of us, when there would not be one, two, here or there, but that all of us, together as men, as heads of our families, also the young boys, that they may stand for that public prayer. When we are in private, then it is different. We know there is a different way of showing humility in private. And what is that? That is to bow. That is to bring our face into the dust. That is to lay in the dust before the Lord. That we
show before the Lord who that we feel ourselves to be before His great majesty. But congregation, even more than our outward posture, what is now our inward posture? Do we come even with all our outward form? And do we come with a heart that is in deep humility before that God of the heavens and of the earth? Oh, consider how that Canaanitish woman, how that she came before the Lord Jesus. Consider how that Abraham even addressed the Lord. Let us sing. Psalter 398, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by His most gracious hand. The eyes of all upon Thee wait. By Thee their wants are all supplied. Thy open hand is bountiful, and every soul is satisfied. 1 and 2 of Psalter 398.
Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will for the sake of Christ our Lord certainly hear our prayer, as he has promised us in his word. Notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, congregation, oh, do we ever feel how unworthy that we are as we attempt to draw nigh unto God? Then we say, how can I even pray, maybe? But where do we read in the whole Word of God that the Lord has answered the prayer of a person because he was worthy? We read of the centurion that the Jews, they said, he is worthy. And they came to the Lord Jesus on his behalf and they asked him, for the sake of his servant, he is worthy that thou shouldest do this, because he loveth our nation and he has built us a synagogue. But what was the opinion of that man of his worthiness? He did not feel himself worthy to come unto the Lord Jesus, nor that the Lord Jesus should enter under his roof. And yet he asked. Why? Because there was a need. And if that need was not so great, then maybe that man would never have dared to ask. As a heathen man, as a Gentile, as an outsider, and he is going to ask a miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was his need that prevented him from staying away. And thus he sent his petition, notwithstanding his unworthiness. Notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, and then how is it possible that our cry that is heard? That is because our fathers say, for the sake of Christ. What does the Lord say? I do it not for your sakes. I do it not because of you. I do it not upon that basis. I do it not with your work as a foundation, but I do it for my great and for my holy name's sake. And that is why, boys and girls, when we pray, we always pray in Jesus' name or for Jesus' sake, because there is no other way that the Lord himself can answer our prayer. And then we read in our third question here, for what that we must pray. And actually we hope to consider that more in the weeks to come, as we consider together the Lord's Prayer. One time we visited an old man who was in the hospital. And then he was crying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And then I asked him, said, what do you need the Lord for? He said, I need him for everything. And that is now so true. Our catechism, it says, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. There are some things for which we may not pray. Then we may not pray for the dead, because where the tree falleth, there it shall lie. We do not believe that man is in a purgatory, and that his state can change after he has died, no. Therefore, we may not pray for the dead. We may not also pray for things in which we have a desire to sin. James says, ye ask, and ye receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. For what are we asking? Even the prosperity of the Lord in the season that is before us. What is our motive? What is our desire? What do we want to do with it? Do we want to consume it upon our lust? We may also not ask for those who have sinned against the Holy Ghost. We read that also in the Word of God. John says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. But congregation, then we must really fully understand and know what that sin against that Holy Ghost is. Otherwise, our Father say, for all things necessary for both soul and body. The soul that ought to have the preeminence. What does the Lord Jesus say? To seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. That does not mean that it needs to be first in order. It is not first in order in that prayer that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, but they are taught first to ask for daily bread, and then to ask that the Lord would forgive their sins. That is understood by some who have laid in great weakness in the hospital, that they had no ability even to consider the need of their soul. Then we understand that the body is needing its nourishment and its strength in order even to seek for those things that are even more important. Thus, there are also bodily needs. Then there is nothing too small that we may not lay before the Lord, as if the Lord is too great, and as if the Lord only looks at the great things in this life. No, also he looks at the little things in this life. Will then the Lord always give to his people what they ask? We need also, congregation, a warrant to pray for something and to expect something from the Lord. If we will pray in faith, as James says, believing that we shall receive it, then it means that we must be sure that it is something the Lord has promised unto us. Thus, do we pray to get better from our sick bed, believing that the Lord will answer our prayer? That may be mere presumption, because the Lord has not necessarily promised that we shall get better from our sickness. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked the Lord if the Lord would not take it away. But the Lord said he would not take it away. No, the Lord does not give to his church anything that they ask. He gives to them what is good for them in his sight. Thus, it must be a prayer that we pray that is in accordance with that holy will of God.
There is prayer for the church. The Lord says that we ought to remember them, to pray for that peace of Jerusalem, that the Lord himself would build up the walls of Zion, that he would convert us with our children, that he would give servants in his vineyard. Prayer for the good of others, intercessory prayer, even for our enemies, that the Lord may convert them. Prayer for kings and rulers and all those that are in authority, and that we may live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Congregation, do we pray? We all pray. We read in the Word of God, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What a wonder. What a wonder that that Most High God, that he is hearing the supplication of his creatures. The spiritual condition of that true church of God, and that can be told by their inner chamber, by that life of secret prayer. And sometimes they think that the Lord does not hear their prayer. Why art thou so far from the voice of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest not, and in the nighttime, and I am not silent. But he still does not, he does not cease. Bartimaeus, they said, be quiet. And he could not be quiet. And why not? Because again, that need, congregation, do we know also that need that is driving us out to seek the blessing of the Lord? What a wonder when the Lord stoops to hear the prayer of his people. Unworthy people who have sinned everything away. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord inclined unto me and heard my cry. What a wonder that that was in the life of David. That the Most High God of the heavens and of the earth, that he has, as it were, stopped to listen. When that cry of David that came up before his throne, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, and who humbleth himself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. Congregation, may we be given to know such an exclamation by experience to the salvation of our soul and to the glory of his name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us that true humility. Give us that true reverence. Forgive and take away our many sins. Bless thy word. Further in this day, give meditation thereon. And bring us together in this afternoon hour under thy word once again. Forgive all that was sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 72, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 72.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.